Hello, this is Pastoral Insights, and I'm your host, Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida, on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org. That's www.trueholinesscogic.org. My guest today, who will share insight, knowledge, and wisdom, is Reverend Dr. Chris A. Burney. Welcome to Pastoral Insights, Dr. Burney.
Welcome.
All right. It is good to have you here. I'm going to give you a little bit of information about Reverend Dr. Chris A. Burney. He's a native of South Florida, has been an avid preacher and teacher of the gospel since he was the tender age of 10 years old. Dr. Burney is currently the senior pastor of the Greater St. Mark Primitive Baptist Church in Tallahassee, Florida. Dr. Burney has pastored three churches since becoming ordained in 1993. Greater Mount Trail Primitive Baptist Church in Sopchoppy, Florida, and Antioch Church of Christ Written in Heaven, Tallahassee, Florida. Dr. Burney is a graduate of Florida State University, as well as a product of St. Thomas Christian University. He is happily married to Lady Terry L. Burney. Since his tenure at Greater St. Mark, Dr. Burney has spearheaded the Brotherhood Ministry, the after-school tutoring program for school-aged children, as well as college students. Dr. Burney is currently serving as the moderator of the Old West Florida Primitive Baptist Association, serves as the chairman of the Florida State Primitive Baptist Board of Evangelism and Foreign Missions. He has also served the Old West Florida Primitive Baptist Association in the following capacities: as vice president of the church school convention, board of examiners, a member of the executive board, vice president of the elders council, and served over 10 years as Bible expositor. He was elected the first black president of the Wakulla County Ministerial Interdenominational Alliance. He is also one of the founding members of the Habitat for Humanity and Refuge House in Wakulla County, which helps abused women and children. Under his leadership, the Greater St. Mark Church is very active in the community through feeding the hungry at the Hope Community Center, and once a month providing the Lake Jackson community with fresh fruits and vegetables through the Farm Share program. Dr. Burney has been honored by the City of Tallahassee for his pastoral leadership in the City of Tallahassee and the surrounding area. Dr. Burney has a heart and passion for people of all ages and nationalities and never meets a stranger. His genuine smile and keen memory of names of people that he has only met on one occasion has truly won the hearts of all who have been blessed to know him. Dr. Burney is a traditional preacher and teacher of the gospel, as he prides himself on making his sermons plain enough that a child can understand, but deep enough that a sinner will take notice and want to change their ways. Dr. Burney travels throughout the United States preaching revivals and spreading the good news about Jesus. My, my, my. With all of that being said, let's talk about this native of South Florida. What part of South Florida are you from, Dr. Burney?
I'm actually from a town called Lake Placid, Florida.
Okay.
It's really Central Florida.
Central Florida.
Mm-hmm. About 2 hours away from Orlando, Florida.
Starting preaching at the age of 10, what was it like growing up in that household?
I've been told by my mother and other family members that from a little boy, I would be in the yard preaching and having church all by myself. And church has been a way of life for me. That's all I know. Being raised in a Christian home, with my grandmother, church. That's all I know is church. And it's just a way of life for me. And so.
So have you always been in full-time ministry?
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. That's all I've been doing just about my whole life.
Your whole life.
Yeah.
Right. So do you play any musical instruments or do you? are you a singing preacher?
They say I am, but I play drums, yeah, and that's about it.
So your love for Christ at an early age, what drives you now? What's that passion that keeps you going all of these years?
it's really my relationship with God that has led me and kept me. I've seen his hand in my life, in my family's life, and I've seen him do the impossible. And so I've seen him from my youth up to now. And so I've been blessed. I can't say that enough. I've been blessed, even with some of the connections that I've made over the years. And so it's been my love for him and seeing him work in my life has brought me to this place now that I have no desire to do anything else but serve him.
When you talk about God doing the impossible, we in Christendom always say that, you know, nothing is impossible for our God, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Give us an example of how God has done something in your life. You said the impossible that just keeps you going to let you know that he is El Shaddai, that all-powerful one.
Yeah, I've had many trials in my life from being raised by a single mother who taught me and my sister about God and loving God and trusting him, you know, raised in a environment where it was hard. We were poor, you know, but didn't know it.
Okay.
You know, always we had food on the table. My mom worked two jobs, but I mean, we had everything that we wanted or even desired. So I'm grateful to God for that. And my sister and I, we both went to college. My mother is not a college graduate, but she emphasized the need for education. And she taught us to love God and put God first. And so I've seen his hand work in my life from my youth up to now, you know, from a little boy in a small community, you know, left home for the first time a little bit after graduating from high school, the pastor in an area that I had never heard of in a small town. And I've seen God's hand open up doors for me, windows of opportunity, over and over again. So that right there is enough for me to know that God can do the impossible. It really doesn't matter where you come from, who you are. It's just your relationship with him and allow him to have a listening ear to hear his voice and move where he say go, you know.
And I'm glad you share the fact that you grew up in a single parent home. Did you know your father at all?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Did he have any influence?
He did.
How
he did.
So?
You know, he was always a provider. Mm-hmm. But yes, but he left when we were very young. Okay. When we were very young. And so, you know, he was very much in our lives. Yeah.
Okay. So how has that shaped you with regard to ministry? I see that you created the Brotherhood. Mm-hmm. Did that play any role in the development of that ministry? And talk a little bit about that ministry.
Well, the Brotherhood ministry, I do believe God has called the man to lead. That is his God-given position. And so realizing that many of our men today, especially black men, are faced with so many trials and so many temptations as well. Mm-hmm. You know, we as men need to build other men up. You know, we're being torn down in the media, in the community, word of mouth. And sometimes we are our worst enemies as well. But I've seen the need for men to build other men up. Iron sharpens iron, of course.
All right.
And so, you know, the men of the Greater St. Mark Church and even the men of our association, and we are trying to bond together to be that support, as well as being active in the community, outreach activities, where the men just come together once a month just to sit down and encourage and build each other up. And so just to have, you know, where everything is, whatever happens or whatever we talk about in that meeting, it stays between us men. And our men are really struggling with different things, you know, whether it's marriages or, you know, wanting to be that provider or any other issues that, you know, our men face, you know.
Oh, that is powerful, because I truly agree with you that men need to take their rightful place. And so many times men don't have that outlet which to share and to bond with other men, and especially men that have gone through experiences that can share insight and wisdom to help them through that particular place in their life. So I commend you on that. I'm trying to do something along that nature at True Holiness. So I'm going to have to get with you and see the kind of things that you're doing, and hopefully maybe we can do some joint projects or something like that together. You're listening to Pastoral Insights. I'm your host, Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. My guest today is the Reverend Dr. Chris A. Burney. Beginning to pastor at a young age, what was that like? Because, you know, you always have some people in the church older than you, have been there all their life. I was here when this church was built. What are you going to tell me as a young man? What type of challenges did you face early on, and how were you able to overcome them?
That's a good question. One thing that I have done over the years, I started pastoring, as you stated, at a young age, mm-hmm. and I'm still young.
Go ahead and plug. Don't hit that plug. He's like, I'm not an old man now.
And I always felt like it was important for people not to see or to know my age, because I didn't think age was important. Mm-hmm. I don't think age is important. God called several, David, Jeremiah. You know, he told them, don't be afraid of their what? Faces, you know, and said, let no man despise your youth. And so I didn't let them know my age.
Okay.
That's one thing. I don't think that's nobody's business. So, you know, I kept that a secret because I wanted them to see me as their spiritual leader. And so age never was a conversation piece. And so I was very prayerful. And I never had an issue with people, even older saints, using that, you know, that boy can't tell me nothing or nothing like that. I never experienced that because I've been told often that I'm an old man in a young man's body. I don't know, it's just the way I carry myself. And I've always hung around older seasoned pastors. I've made seasoned people my friend. Because I really feel that they have a lot to share. And a lot of times when you hang around sometimes younger people, you can get you in trouble.
Okay.
You know, can get you in trouble. And so, you know, I felt like I needed to hang around seasoned elders of the church that were able to pour into me wisdom and how to carry myself. Yeah.
So when you look at getting there at your first pastorate, getting there, getting involved, getting things going, how did you get things done in God's house? To give us an example, did you set any processes in place? How did you establish your leadership or delegation? And how did you deal with conflict? Because it ultimately arises. And as a young pastor, how did you deal with that? And this is for that person that's listening, that's new into the ministry, to get some insight of what's the proper way to go about these things.
I would encourage any new pastor, young or old, when you first go to that church, you need to be prayerful. Number one, you need to learn the people. You need to spend time with the people, you know, and you need to be prayerful. Don't go in making any changes. You need to learn the people. It's going to actually take you 3 to 7 years to really for the people to love you, for the people, I should say, people to fall in love with you. And then most of all, trust you.
3 to 7 years?
Yeah. Because people are different. They're different, but they're somewhat the same everywhere you go. People are leery of anybody that is new. Whether you know, you go into on a new job, people are going to watch you. They're going to watch you. They're going to watch how you treat your wife. They're going to watch how your wife treats you. You're learning one another, and it's almost like it's a marriage. And in a marriage, you might fall in love at first sight. They love your preaching. But then when you start to move from preaching to pastoring, you know, and if a church has never been pastored and it just had a preacher that just preach and leave, and then you see them back on Bible study night, there's a difference. And so, if you're going to be a pastor that loves the people, fellowship with the people, and provide leadership and vision, they're bound to be some conflict, because they're going to be needed change that needs to take place, but you need to do it in a timely fashion.
So you just made a sharp distinction between preaching and pastoring, or the term we like to use, shepherding. So, and throughout your life as being a pastor and shepherding, how have people changed with regard to the way they view ministry or the church and pastors? Because I know back in the day, my grandmother, they loved, the pastor says so, it was it was solid. But there, you know, we live in an age where we have Generation X's and millennials. How has the church environment changed?
It has definitely changed. It really has, Pastor. And it concerns me. And I think we are some of the blame as shepherds and pastors, preachers.
How so?
We need integrity back in the pulpit. We need integrity back in the pulpit. And because there's somewhat of a decline of integrity in the pulpit, people don't really respect us like they used to. I know you remember a time when the preacher comes around.
You throw down everything.
Come on now. You know, I've seen them, you know, if they're smoking, hide the cigarette. Or if they're drinking, you know, they'll hide it, you know, out of respect for the man of God. I've even been told, you know, they wouldn't even bring certain things on church property. They'll go all the way around, you know, out of respect for the church.
The church and God's house.
Yeah, in God's house and the man of God and what he stood for in the community. It was times where even the local government, a pastor can walk in the courtroom and just on that pastor's word, you know, the judge will take that pastor's word and, you know, and say, you know what, because the pastor walked in, I'm going to do such and such. I'll have mercy. And so I've seen that through the older pastors, but somewhere down the line, we have somewhat, I would say, lost our integrity to a certain degree. And so people read more. People do research. People think they know more than the preacher, you know, and they take that approach and they're not afraid to challenge the pastor's authority. And, you know, his God-given authority, and just really they see him as a man that puts on his pants like everybody else put on their pants, and you have that type of mentality, and it's hurting us.
And how do you overcome that? Because one of the things I'm hearing is integrity, which goes back to lifestyle. Really, are you living what you preach and what you teach? So how do you overcome? Well, how do you deal with that person that challenges your authority when they think that they know more than you?
You have to study the Word of God, and you must have integrity, and you must study. I can't say that enough. You got to study the Word of God, and you got to be ready. And don't be afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know. Let me get back with you. You know, that's not going to take nothing from you. Because we don't know it all.
No, it's a whole lot of 66 books.
Come on now. Amen.
It's a whole lot.
We don't know it all. And I think sometimes we need to share that with our congregants and express them, I don't know that, but you give me next week.
Give me next week. I'll come back.
You just hold on, you know. And I think people respect you more than just you just giving them something with no
substance.
Yeah, okay. There you go. No substance. And so, you know, and I think people respect you more when you're honest and you put it out there.
Yes, indeed. You're listening to Pastoral Insights. I'm your host, Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ. My guest today, sharing wisdom, knowledge, and insight, is the Reverend Dr. Chris A. Burney. For my listening audience, you know, there's so many different denominations within Christianity. And I'd like for you to give us an understanding of what Primitive Baptist, because I grew up Missionary Baptist before I became Church of God in Christ. So you have Missionary Baptist, Primitive Baptist, Southern Baptist. What's the distinguishing factor there, and what sets Primitive Baptist apart?
Primitive Baptist has been in existence for, we've celebrated 107 years as a convention, similar to the Church of God in Christ.
Yeah.
And so we've been around a long time. And again, our denomination, we believe in the whole Bible. We are a denomination that believe in washing of the saints' feet.
Oh, come on now, y'all don't do. We call it in church got foot washing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what we do. And we do have a mission. We do have a mission, and we do it. We do it. And we are a denomination that believe in the whole Bible and believe sticking by the Word of God from A to Z.
Whole concept of sola scriptura.
Yeah, from Genesis to Revelation. And so we hold to the true teachings of the Bible. Mm-hmm.
Give us a little bit about the organizational structure, because you hold the title of moderator for the Old West Florida Primitive Baptist Association. So is the denomination broken up into associations, and what role does a moderator play?
Mm-hmm. It's similar to the Church of God in Christ, your denomination. We have our president, who serves as somewhat of our chief apostle, our national president, similar to our presiding bishop.
Okay.
Was President Dr. Bernard C. Yates. He's in Pensacola. And then we have a state president that our denomination is divided into states. We have a state president, Dr. R.F. Rush. And then we're broken up into associations, somewhat districts.
Oh, districts. Okay. Like
districts.
Okay.
And I preside over OS, who we have been in existence 147 years, working on 48 years right now. And so I oversee, similar to a presiding bishop over a jurisdiction. And so that.
So how many churches are you responsible for?
38.
38.
It's 38, and we covers like four counties.
So the moderator is pretty much like a jurisdictional bishop.
Right, right. Okay. It's the same thing. But we say moderator versus bishop.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's the same thing. It's built on the same.
The same concept. So how long have you been moderator?
I've working on my second year.
All right.
Second year, I'm serving as the 17th moderator of 148 old association.
So
and I'm the youngest. The youngest to ever hold this position.
But we're not going to talk about age. And so with that being moderator, what are some of the things that you do?
Well, my job is to make sure unity is held among the brothers, sisters, and the churches. I'm the pastor's pastor.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm one that if an issue arises, I am the go-to person. We have an executive board who helps me. And then we just promote unity as well as running charged with the day-to-day operations of our association, which we have a $1.5 million facility and other small entities that operate in our association. So
wow. And information about the Old West Florida can be found on the internet at oldwestpba.org. oldwestpba.org. Talk to us about this facility, the Old West Florida Enrichment Center. When did that come about? What purpose does it serve from conception to completion? And what goes on at this place?
This is our convention center. We're able to accommodate whatever event that is actually going on in the community. It's primarily a church facility. But we do have banquet space that is for rent. We do have offices that are available for lease. We have a daycare center here as well. The sanctuary would accommodate 1,000+. And this is where we have all of our annual meetings. Our church school convention is held here. We have an annual our annual convention, which is our association, is held here for a week. And then we meet here periodically for other services as well, or conventions.
And for full disclosure purposes, I like to let everyone know that we're blessed and graced to be able to lease from Old West Florida, our Primitive Baptist Association. Our church actually leases space to hold our services here at the Old West Florida Enrichment Center. And we've been here now for 4 years. As a matter of fact, this past Sunday, we celebrated 4 years here. And I will tell you, this is a lovely multi-purpose facility. And Dr. Bernie, I want to say thank you for allowing us to be able to hold our services here in this building.
You're so welcome. And we're glad to have you.
Right. And I will say, you do lease it out to the public for like concerts and funerals and things of that nature as well?
Yes, sir, we do. And wedding receptions, things of that sort, repasts, you know, funerals, things of that sort.
But it has to be holy. Amen. No, just so y'all, it's not the Civic Center where you can just come and hold anything. You're listening to Pastoral Insights. My guest is the Reverend Dr. Chris A. Bernie. Dr. Bernie, when you look at all the places that you pastored at, three churches growing up, how would you tell a young pastor, young minister to go about church growth spiritually and numerically?
Okay. Spiritual, I'm glad you put that first. Spiritually.
Because they always say, how many you got over there, man? Can have a whole lot and who?
Right. Spiritually. Because I do believe the man or woman of God needs to seek God. You need to be prepared. If you're faithful over a few, God will make you what? Rule over many. And so I think you just need to be faithful. I think God is looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness out of his leaders. Faithfulness. And I think you need to be prayerful that God will send the right people to help you build a solid foundation. Mm-hmm. Because if the foundation is not right.
Go ahead, teach.
All right. If the foundation is not right, it's not going to stand. And you want to build a ministry that is going to be able to weather storms, because storms will come. Disagreements will come. And so therefore, you got to be prepared and you got to preach. And one thing, I thank God I've been successful. I have tried to instill in people, and I constantly teach to love, to love. When you get people to love each other,
at agape
they
love.
Don't hurt. Yeah, they don't hurt each other. And so that's one thing I have taught and preached for the saints. We're not just, this is not a corporation. This is a church family. This is a family. Mm. And family don't hurt family. And
amen.
So you teach people to love one another. And there, when conflict comes, which it will, you teach them how to resolve conflict in a loving manner. And so, you know, and I think once you build a loving family relationship, and then you teach people how to go out in the community. Evangelism is key. Outreach. Teaching people how to serve in the community. And when people see a church that is visible in the community, really doing what Christ has called us to do, to serve those who are less fortunate, I think in this time, in these times that we're living in now, people are looking for a church that is active in the community, actually doing, rather than just give me, give me, give me, you know. And so I think that'll help your church to grow as well as being visible in the community, because people want to be a part of something that they can identify that is really serving the community.
All right.
Rather than just going there to have church every Sunday.
Every Sunday. Getting out. Actually having that community penetration, going out to evangelize the lost and to go out there to help them. That is powerful, because that's what Jesus did. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. Well, time is getting away from us. I have just a couple more questions I want to ask you. And one being, with now your vast and many years of experience, looking back on where you started, what is maybe one or two things that you can share with us young pastors new in the ministry that, based upon what the knowledge and wisdom you have now, you would have done differently in the beginning?
Wow, that's a good question. That's a good question. Some of the connections.
Okay.
That I did make. I wish I had did a little bit more investigating. Because it caused me great pain in ministry, and a lot of hurt, you know, in ministry with some of the connections that I have made. So I'm very particular of who I bond with as far as
interesting
in ministry, because of some past relationships in the past that weren't fruitful but caused great harm, but yet made me better and helped me to be able to share with other ministers alike, to pour into them. And that's why I say make connections with people who are going to bring somewhat, what I say, birth fruit.
Yes.
You know.
It's going to be positive influence.
Yeah, fruitful relationship. Rather than just have a relationship, because a relationship is a relationship, but it is not a productive relationship if it's not producing
fruit,
you know.
It's not worth it. Well, coming to the end here, I'm going to give you just an opportunity. Is there anything that you would like to share from your heart? Anything that you would like to share that's going on in Old West Florida? Any upcoming events that you'd like my listening audience to know?
Okay. I just want to encourage every young pastor, every pastor, to be encouraged. Don't rush anything. Be patient. Be humble. be humble and be humble. Your time is coming. I've seen so much here lately with other pastors cutting other pastors' throat, trying to get ahead, trying to step on somebody else's head to get ahead. Just be patient. Mm. What's for you is for you. And let God do it. Let God do it. You know, don't try to rush it. You know, your time is your time. And when it's your season, ain't nothing nobody can do about it. Just be patient and be prayerful. Just be prayerful. And don't never look at across the fence and say, well, I wonder why this is not happening. Like God done forgot about me. If you be faithful, you be faithful. You just be faithful. You do what you do. You know, I know sometimes you look at mega ministries and, you know, but you don't know the headache. Mm. You know, you don't know the struggle that that ministry perhaps is going through. And as you said earlier, a lot of times when you see big, big don't mean, amen, yeah, that it has a good foundation. You know, so you just be faithful over what God has assigned in your hand, you know, and learn how to encourage yourself like David did, you know. And when your time come, God will do the elevating, you know. And don't push yourself too fast. Just be faithful. Just be faithful and watch God work in your favor. If you're doing what's right, he's going to do right by you.
Amen.
And on May 5th, I invite everyone to come and share with us. We're going to have a 1,000 Men in Black program here at the Enrichment Center that our association is sponsoring. Our national president, Dr. Yates, will be our guest preacher along with the Boys Choir of Tallahassee. That's May 5th at 7 p.m. And so invite all men from all over Tallahassee and surrounding areas to come and share with us on that night. It's just men coming together to worship and praise and encourage one another.
All right. And you said that's May 5th?
May 5th.
May 5th.
At 7 p.m.
7 p.m. right here at the Old West Florida Enrichment Center. And that address is 2344 Lake Bradford Road, Tallahassee, Florida, 32310. Dr. Bernie, thank you so very much for being
a
great guest here on Pastoral Insights. More information can be found about Old West Florida Primitive Baptist Association at their website at oldwestpba.org. That's oldwestpba.org. Once again, thank you for listening to Pastoral Insights. I'm your host, Pastor Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. On the web at trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Remember, in all that you do, be magnificent, glorify God, be good, be blessed, but most of all, be a blessing to someone.